This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to PTBM Pops Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports Edition, the show that takes a look ahead to an upcoming season that's about to begin, as well as looking back at a season that recently completed and crowned a champion. Now, here is your host, the Cowboy, Roger Morrison.
Place to Be Nation! Here, this is the first episode that I am in charge of here for Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports Edition. So thank you to Mr. Atherton, Andy, our favorite AA, for recruiting me for this project. So for those of you unfamiliar with the concept of the show, it's exactly as it sounds. We look back to whatever the most recent sports season was, major sport, in this case, Major League Baseball. And we look forward to the upcoming major sports season, which in this case is NBA basketball. So NBA obviously started, you know, a couple weeks ago, but we're not perfectionists here at Place to Be Nation, and we can still very much talk about the NBA, talk about major leagues, and I'm very much looking for ideas for this show. So any listeners, if you want to be on, or if you have ideas about format and things like that, please just let me know, and I'm be happy to get you in for the next one. For this one, I wanted, you know, I'm you know how a baby kind of likes their binky. Well, it's my first time doing this. I'm a little nervous. I need my binky. So we have one guest for this show, and that's my binky, my co-host from This Week in the NFL, the one, the only, John D'Amato. John, what's going on?
Where's your other hand? It's between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
Yo! There he is.
How about them Bears? Hell of a game. Hell of a game. Yeah. Nice to be here, Raj. Thanks for having me. Even though I was a little insulted, you didn't have me in. Maybe it wasn't your call, but I was deleted from the your great football. Looking forward, looking back, but I hope to make up for it here.
Hey, that had nothing to do with me, John. I was a guest on that show. Andy put it together, and I mean, frankly, not having you on, and sort of the negative blowback he got from that may have been the reason that he asked me to just do this going forward, right? He said, I don't need to deal with...
I felt cheated on that you were talking football with other guys. It was like, I didn't feel good.
I kind of felt like, you know, what's that? Like Diane Lane a little bit and Unfaithful, you know, just, I got the nice guy at home and here I am going to the pottery shop. And I think that guy might have been Italian. Chris Golo was on the show.
I kind of missed Unfaithful. The last time I checked in my pants, there was a little bit of a penis there. So
you never saw Unfaithful?
Nah, pass on that.
You really? Oh, come on! You should watch it. It's pretty good. I mean, I saw it a long time ago, and I think I watched it with a girl. But I wouldn't watch it with a girl because it's going to make, you know, everybody thinks everyone's cheating on each other. It's no good. But the point is, I felt dirty and unclean doing a sports show without you, and I'm happy to have you here, John. So thank you very much for joining me.
And I'm just kidding about that. I'm honored to be on any podcast. I like to listen more than I like to talk anyway, so it's all good.
You're in the wrong line of work, my friend. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's not work. This is just
it's
a hobby.
True. Yeah. It's absolutely, yes. We all know John doesn't work. he wants to make that perfectly clear to the listeners.
99% of males, they brag about how hard they work and everything. I'm the 1% that brags about how hard he doesn't work.
Oh, you call that work? I'm not doing it. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
It's fun. All I have is fun. All right. So excellent. Great start. So again, the concept of the show, John, is we're going to take a look back at the season that was for Major League Baseball. Talk a little bit. The way I think of it is, you know, kind of taking the package and put a nice little bow on it, right?
Yes, sir.
And then we're going to take a look forward to the NBA season, kind of what we think, MVP, yada, yada, yada. So let's start with baseball. Can you just give me kind of your general thoughts? We obviously just had the World Series with the Washington Nationals pulling a bit of an upset, right? Bit of an upset just kind of the whole way through. I think if you would have stack ranked the teams at the beginning of the playoffs, that the Nationals would have been near the bottom of the list of teams that you thought could win it. If you would have done it at the beginning of the season, even lower down after losing Bryce Harper this is one for the ages as far as like addition by subtraction sort of deal. So they get in a wild card and they run the table and they go and they beat the mighty Astros in a heck of a World Series, a lot of fun. But kind of what were your thoughts there, John, on the it was kind of like a little bit of a David and Goliath situation. How did they do it? How did they slay the Giants?
I kind of disagree because under the radar, they could afford to lose Harper because they have two of the top five players in all of baseball, which really a lot of people, they're not exactly household names. But Anthony Rendon and Robles were beasts all year from game one to game 162 to game seven of the World Series. They were beasts. And that's also huge. They weren't guys that just racked up their stats versus the Marlins all year. When it came to the playoff time in Game Five of the division series, back to back, off Clayton Kershaw, the down 3-1, Rendon and Robles tied the game up. In Game Seven of the World Series, Rendon Granke was throwing dimes. Juan Soto.
You mean Juan Soto, right? I was going to say yes. Victor Robles was okay.
Yes, but not a beast like Soto. Okay, thank you. You should have corrected me earlier.
John. Yeah. I was feeling bad from the unfaithfulness, so I figured I'd let you go.
You gave me a zinger, all right? You let me hang myself, but yes, Juan Soto. I'm sorry, but just and there are a lot of guys, they rack up stats during the season, but come playoff time, you could get them out. Bonds had that tag for a long time in his career until he had that, until he had the 1 year where he took him to game seven of the series.
A-Rod.
And then there's a lot of, other than 2009, A-Rod was that guy. Atlanta, maybe Chipper Jones. Other than the one World Series, there was a lot of times where he left his team wanting more. But Rendon and Soto, yes, sir, they just continued from Game One to through Game Seven of the World Series, and a fascinating World Series. Never before the road team won every game.
Isn't that crazy?
Especially for Houston, because they really fought hard for that home field. They were kind of neck and neck with the Yankees towards the end of the year, and then the Yankees kind of pumped the brakes a little and took their foot off the gas, and Houston really went all out. And maybe it helped them in the championship series versus the Yankees, but obviously in the World Series they had no difference. And also what carried the Nationals is old school, what's been carrying teams, championship teams throughout the years. They had a big three that pretty much stayed healthy, a big three of starting pitchers that gave him innings and gave him quality wins with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin all year. And they made up good, because even though they had one of the worst bullpens in the league, they were able every 3 days. You put Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg out there. And even Anibal Sanchez was a solid fourth starter for them. And they stayed pretty much healthy, except for Scherzer missed a few starts. But other than that, They put a solid four-man rotation and mixing in five guys in and out. And that carried them.
You had to be happy for Strasburg. As a guy coming in, he was, probably the most highly touted pitching prospect of the last 15 or 20 years, right? And he's always been good, but he always had, to your point, trouble staying on the field. So to not only stay healthy, but then to just... I mean, you want to talk about rising to the occasion in the postseason. I mean, he was incredible. He was absolutely incredible. So I was very happy for him.
And also, this is going to be painful, but from a Met fan status, he was neck and neck with Matt Harvey years ago, and they're both Scott Boras clients. And if you remember, Strasburg, the first year the Nationals made the playoffs, Strasburg was on the innings limit. And he listened to his agent, and Strasburg, he did not pitch. And, of course, the Nationals bid it in the first round. And in 2015, Matt Harvey said, fuck you, Boras. And he pitched through. He didn't care about no innings limit. Carried the Mets to the World Series. No complaints there. Carried them to, the way they lost in five games. But after that, Harvey's career disintegrated, and he's out of baseball now. And Strasburg, it turned out, that the innings limit, all that has helped him, and now he's restructuring his contract. He opted out, and he's in for another big payday. So,
well deserved.
Take that for what it's worth. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. You remember? I mean, they got killed for sitting him that
year.
Yeah,
as a fan, you should be pissed. But
I mean, I guess it all worked out.
But obviously, as a fan, if you're a Nationals fan, yeah. If you play the long game, sure, but back then, yeah, that was a tough pill to swallow when you make the playoffs and you can't have your best pitcher. But Boras, and right now Scott Boras is probably the most powerful man in baseball. With he represents Rendon, Strasburg, Scherzer, Gerrit Cole, who's also a free agent.
Ooh, there's a good guy to talk about.
Yeah.
So, shades of Zach Britton. Not coming into the game.
I wouldn't compare it to Britton, because he's not really a starter, and he was on 2 days rest. He's not.
No,
a
I know.
He was on 2 days rest.
I know that. It's the same kind. The same kind of deal, though. Where if it doesn't,
if you don't put him in and it doesn't work out,
that means it ends out being a thing.
He had the plan that if Harris would have got through the seventh, he was going to bring in his closer Osuna for the eighth inning. And this is A.J. Hinch, the manager, and he was going to bring in Cole for the ninth inning if they kept the lead. But Will Harris came in the seventh, down 2-1. Rendon had just cut the 2-0 lead. Greinke was cruising. Rendon just cut the lead to 2-1. And then Soto, Greinke walked him, and then that was it. And he brought in Will Harris, who was actually very good throughout the whole playoffs. But maybe a bit overused, and you can't really fault him. Howie Kendrick took a low slider, and he took it to the opposite field. Barely hit the foul pole. It wasn't like he bombed one 500 feet. It wasn't like Harris like hung a curve or hung a slider. It was it was low, and Kendrick just went with it and hit the right field foul pole. So it's one of those are the breaks. I don't know if Hinch should really get killed too much, because especially Cole on 2 days rest and never pitched the relief in his life. So. That would have been a tough spot, but he did plan to use him for the ninth. So you could get a second guess all night. But
yeah, I know. But he was pretty pissed about it, it seemed like. Cole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they sure.
Didn't he wear the Scott Boras hat after the game?
Yeah, immediately. And he said, I'm no longer employed with this organization. He wasted no time. Yeah, that's tough because he wasn't with them in 2017 when the Astros won. So he's still without a World Series title. And, they came close the last 2 years, but they fell just short. Of course, your Red Sox beat them last year, which we'll get into. Your Red Sox didn't really do a good job as far as defending champions. If you want to get into what happened there.
Well, I mean, I think it begins and ends with the two lefties, right, John?
Yes, they kind of sold their soul for gave exorbitant contracts to David Price and Chris Sale, and they pitched their ass off. They juiced every inning out of them for that 2018 championships, and they also juiced the hell out of Nathan Eovaldi, who was a free agent, and they did right by him. They re-signed him, but business-wise, the move would have been to tell Eovaldi, hey, Eovaldi, thanks for the championship, and go find a nice contract somewhere else. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? Winning organizations kind of tend to don't really reward past performances.
Yeah,
you got to pay out looking to the future, not really towards the past.
Yeah, the Red Sox don't have to look far. Just look right down the street to Foxborough, and they'll show you. Belichick, yeah, that door wouldn't have hit, couldn't have hit Evaldi in the ass faster if that was Bill Belichick. So, I mean, with all that said, I didn't like the Evaldi signing. The price and sale, I mean, it got him a World Series, right? And that's the goal.
Yeah.
So they won the World Series. We obviously expected better things this year, but
yeah, you got to be disappointed because Devers and Xander. And Bogarts had
incredible
seasons. Yep. They should have been in the playoffs, or maybe even, you know, more should have been done to make that push at the deadline. Because when those two had beastly seasons, and they pretty much carried the team. They still, it wasn't a, you know, total embarrassment finishing what like 85 wins. So
yep. Yeah, 19 games back. It was
yeah,
not
a couple more deals. He could have made that that wild card.
Yeah, and I mean those guys are Devers and Bogarts are both young, obviously, so they're good. It's something we can kind of talk about. I've been talking about with my father a bit is and with JT, like what's up with the whole everybody being cheap fucks in baseball?
I don't agree. In what way?
So I mean, maybe, this is
just
looking.
Just because they're not signing guys right away. Oh, sorry that Harper had to wait to get his $40 million till like almost March.
No, I'm talking specifically about like the Red Sox and the Yankees to some extent. But we have a big one coming up in Boston with Mookie Betts. So this is big news around here. So Mookie Betts is, I mean, he's going to command Mike Trout, Harper kind of money. And it looks like, I mean, if I had to put money on it right now, I would say they're not going to sign him. I think they're going to let him walk, which I think
or trade him this offseason.
Both of which I think are completely ridiculous. Like you're in baseball, it's like you're, you know, the system is set up in such a way to favor teams like the Red Sox and the Yankees and the teams that can spend money. And those kinds of teams are not supposed to let 27-year-old MVPs walk.
He's kind of paying the price for those bad deals that we talked about, for overpaying a price and sale. At some point, you got to turn the faucet off, and it's the same thing with the Yankees. They're stuck with Jacoby Ellsbury and some other brutal contracts. At this stage, it looks like Jeter put one over on them by having burdening them with Stanton for the next 8 to 10 years or whatever, at $30 million, whatever the hell the numbers are. So at some point, you can't just keep handing them out. That's pretty much what it is they're paying for the mistakes of the past. So and unfortunately, they're drawing the line at somebody like Mookie, who's pretty much a guaranteed. I mean, the guy stays healthy. He's not a knucklehead. He's a great teammate. Doesn't get in trouble. Everything about it. He's a champion, MVP.
He might be the best defensive outfielder in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a man. Somebody's going to give him the money. That's the thing. Like, I mean, and as a Red Sox fan, it just kills me to think of him playing for another team because these assholes who have more money than God are unwilling to pay him. They do. Oh, J.D. Martinez opted in, so now we can't afford Mookie Betts. Are you kidding me? Have you ever been to Fenway Park?
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't cheap, was it? 81 times a year, John.
Sellouts.
All right. So, since taking another look back, did you have any, like, kind of a positive surprise team outside of the Nationals?
Yes. In the regular
Twins?
Season, at least, Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota. First year manager Rocco Baldelli. Kind of hanged and banged. They kind of relied on
his aunt is the mayor of
he's big in Rhode Island.
Sound,
yeah.
She's the mayor of the town I live in. She's she was right behind me at the DMV a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
shout out Woonsocket.
They banged up, but that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. They are guys that, you know, about 7-8 guys that hit, you know, 20-25 homers apiece, but they kind of feast off the the White Sox pitching during the regular season, but when you come up against the Yankees and legitimate major leagues, I don't know if they could sustain that in the playoffs. Obviously, they barely put in an appearance in the division series. They lost to the Yankees in two. They didn't even need to play that third game. That was just an embarrassment. So I don't know if it's just the Yankees or if that's something going forward that they're gonna have to look into. That you have a bunch of those hitters that could feast on crap Oriole pitching, but can't really compete when it comes to the postseason.
It's kind of one of those things too, in the short series, where they could have just had a bad series. I mean, I think they have a lot of talent. But it's like because of their salary constraints, you really see it on the pitching side, right? I mean, Jose Berrios is their one, and he's good, right? But I mean, would he even be in the rotation for the Astros? I mean, maybe, right? It's so for them to get to 100 wins, I agree, John. They were big. They were definitely the biggest positive surprise. And I look forward when we do looking forward, looking back the other way. We look forward to baseball. We can discuss what we think maybe they're going to do next year. Sounds like you may be on the Twins are taking a step back train.
Yeah, I think Odorizzi was one of the best pitchers. He's a free agent. So I doubt they're going to re-sign him. And also another surprise, not so much a team, but a lot of the players a shocker, but the New York Mets. So when you had your sports lounge show a few years ago, they were a frequent punching bag for your baseball crew. The frequent jokes of the league, but they other than their bullpen, they had a very nice season, and it's good to be optimistic with Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil that they have youth on their side. A lot of useful players. Rosario's a solid shortstop, very young, and he's improving every year. Conforto in right field. All these guys are under 27 years old, and a lot of youth. DeGrom followed up his Cy Young, which it looks like he's going to go back to back. So there was a lot to be encouraged about.
Yeah, I mean, Alonso, if you want to talk about him a little bit, what a revelation, huh?
Yes, he's right from the start. And another surprise is they didn't do – you'd expect the Mets, out of all the teams, to hold back him for the 2 months so they could get that extra year of service, which is what all the other teams would do, the Padres and all these other teams that have youth on their side. But Brody Van Wagenen, one of his good moves, he said, no, Alonso, is going to play. We don't care about the service, even if we have him for one less year. He's too good, and he's going to be in there from day one. And it's a rare time where a Met move paid off, which they'll be hurting in when it comes down the line in 6-7 years when they could have had him for that extra year. But he's a great kid also that he likes playing for the Mets. He's very positive, and hopefully it all keeps up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was well worth it, John. Just for the shot in the arm he gave the franchise. I mean, there's real hope there, right? I mean, they have a good young team. What's his head's good too? The little left fielder, McNeil, Jeff McNeil.
Yeah. Well,
he's another kid.
Third base. He's without a position. He plays everywhere, but that's still to be determined. But yeah, he's got he definitely gives you a solid at bat every time. He hangs in there, and there's a lot to be optimistic about. Just unfortunately, Van Wagenen, he made some good moves, and he made an awful move with the bull. Obviously, the bullpen was a disaster, and it kept them out of the playoffs.
But it's tough though, because Diaz had been so good.
Yeah, he went from being the best reliever in baseball to one of the worst of all time. It's a typical Met. I don't know if you want to call it bad luck or whatever, but
it's just kind of a thing that happens to the Mets, is what you're telling me.
But also, yeah, but you can't just you say wah, blame it on bad luck. It's also you don't really not too many teams trade for a closer. Most of the closers are either homegrown or
right.
And you see,
it's like you can almost sometimes it's like you can almost throw anyone in the role, like give them a shot.
It's a failed starter. Like one of the best relievers was Yates from San Diego, who's been with about 10 different teams. He's a failed starter, and this year it turns out he was one of the best closers in the league. So you never know. That's the thing that, you know, most teams, most of the good teams, they figure it out year to year. But a lot of the mediocre teams and the bad teams, it's like a crapshoot, especially with the middle relievers. So sometimes a guy has a good year, gets a big contract, and then, you know, can't get anybody out. That's one of the unknowns in the league.
At least it was. At least he didn't have the Pirates closer.
Yeah. But so, I was disappointed. I was disappointed that Joe Girardi went to the Phillies, because he would have been. He's an expert at handling the bullpen in his years with the Yankees, and I think that's what really the Mets needed. But that's not the way they want to go to. The trend right now is to hire first year guys with the taking orders from the the GM and the analytics staff and all that. So they're kind of going to that trend. It's worked with the Yankees with Boone and with your guy Cora and a couple other guys. So we'll see how Carlos Beltran. We'll see how it works out. Even though I wanted Girardi, I'm still optimistic about Beltran.
What do you think about the Marcus Stroman move? Was that and apologies for not knowing this, as we've talked about, my baseball knowledge isn't maybe quite as. Not quite there with my football knowledge, but was that was a move made with a long-term view, not just a rental, right?
Yeah, he's got one more year, and he'll be a free agent after the 20 season. And that was a time where the Mets were kind of muddling along, and it looked like there was going to be sellers, and they were going to trade a Zach Wheeler, and all of a sudden he showed that they were kind of going for it. And even though Stroman struggled at first, he came on at the end, so... And it turns out it's a good deal, because they'll probably lose Zach Wheeler, so at least they'll have Stroman in their starting rotation this year. And he already had the adjustment period with the National League and with the Mets and all that, so it turns out he's going to be a solid third starter.
Yeah, he's a quality guy. He's always been. He's always been a quality guy, so I liked it. I liked it. Hey, John. Anything else we need to look back on, or do you think that puts a pretty good bow on it?
Let me think now. We pretty much covered that. That was the main thing I wanted to cover.
Who's your MVP?
I'm going to go, I think Anthony Rendon in the National League, although Bellinger will probably win it, but I would go Rendon.
All right.
Let me ask you, take a guess where some of the top free agents are going to go. Like, we'll start with Anthony Rendon.
You know what, John? As we talked about with this whole free agency thing, I don't have a clue anymore. Because usually I would just say Dodgers, Red Sox, or Yankees, or Cubs for all the top free agents. But I don't know.
I think
last year when Machado went to the Padres, threw me all off.
Yeah. Well, Rendon's a... He's a Texas kid, so the Rangers with the new ballpark are going to be one of the favorites.
Do you think he's definitely gone?
I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees move in on him.
Any chance that the Nationals bring him back, or is it too much? All
right. I don't think so. I think the Nationals will keep Strasburg, but they may have to let Rendon go. I don't know if they'll be able to keep both. But
you got to think the Yankees are going to be in the market for some pitching, and there's some.
So I would say as far as some of the main pitching, I would say Baumgartner's pretty much a lock for Atlanta, because he's like a Southern North Carolina kid, and the Yankees, as far as Cole, it depends on what you believe. Cole, you know, is a West Coast kid. Who also grew up a Yankee fan, so he's got that going for him. And between Cole and Strasburg and Baumgartner, that the Yankees are going to be in the hunt for one of them, or maybe even Jake Odorizzi.
All right. Well, we shall see, John. We shall see.
All right, buddy.
All right, so. Put a nice little bow on the Major League Baseball season there. And now we are approximately 2 weeks into the NBA season. And, I mean, we have some learnings. Teams have played 7 or 8 games, but I think it's still fitting to do a preview. Are you with me?
Yes, definitely. Just let's try to talk as little about the New York Knicks as possible.
They're rebuilding. They're rebuilding, John. It's what in the NBA.
That's my only request. That's my only request because I might not make it through the podcast.
It's the NBA, John. You don't want to be good. You don't want to be in the middle. I mean, you want to be either terrible or at the top.
Yeah, rather they've been trying that strategy for a little while.
But
the next dream is I think in 2024 the next faction like the NWO or the next gang is going to be Towns, Booker, and D'Angelo Russell is going to be the next faction. I think in 2024. So that's what the Knicks better hope for. Towns is a Jersey kid, so you know. Get back to me in 2024 about the Knicks.
We can talk about Towns, but holy moly, John.
What?
He's taking it up a level.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Anthony.
With him and Wiggins, I was going to say, if they're patient and they could recruit one or two guys for next year, they could be a force.
Force
next year.
Yeah, I mean, Wiggins is, you know, I feel like he is what he is at this point. But Towns is like, taking it up a notch, absolutely. But all right,
and that's just first Embiid, you know.
I guess when we're talking NBA and we're doing a preview, the first things we want to talk about are guys that switch teams, probably, right? Because we had some pretty important ones. Obviously, right at the top of that list, you had Kawhi Leonard lead Toronto to a world championship. Cement himself as, you know, one or two as far as best player in the league. He jumps ship, heads over to the Clippers, takes Paul George with him. So they're 6-3 to this point. Leonard, you know, he's going to miss games here and there. It was a little bit of an uproar the other night from the stupid NBA. Needs to, I mean,
all of a sudden, I mean, hasn't Popovich been doing it like 7 years ago? Didn't Popovich start that? Why all of a sudden is they getting on Kawhi's case? Because it was a national TV game? Or,
it's the right thing to – I mean, they should be doing it. It's what Toronto did last year, and they won the friggin'
ask
title.
Ask any fan, would you rather watch your team win a championship, or would you rather watch your favorite player play
it? Of course, and it is because it was a national title, a nationally televised game. A few when they got on Popovich for it for you know he sat Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker and then they almost won the game anyway.
Yeah. They only lost to Milwaukee by like six.
So that's obviously the biggest move, one of the biggest moves of the offseason. So let me ask you first, John. George is going to be back soon. Do you think that makes them the favorites for the title, or kind of in a group of favorites, or where do you kind of see the Clippers?
No, I got Clippers as heavy favorites. Even though it looks like LeBron's having a resurgence here, but I would go Clippers heavy favorites.
He's trying this year, John.
Yeah, well, I just like the Clippers' overall depth. I love their. It's not even a bench. I mean, they'll be at the end of most of the games. But I love when they bring Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams off the bench. They just bring it to another level. But also they have a Shamet, Landry Shamet,
who can shoot it.
Like Zubac, who they stole from the Lakers for Mike Muscala
for nothing.
And they
actually brought in. They brought in Mo Harkless in the offseason.
Yes,
St. John's
yeah,
guy.
Solid.
And
yeah,
they got
solid.
Him for nothing, and he's a rotation guy for them.
Yeah. Even though they did a thing where they made the playoffs and they still rebuilt last year with the Tobias Harris trade where they got Shamet and now they did the second phase of the major just building into a championship contender.
And they're very well coached.
Yeah, but I love their depth and plus the, you know, those two star power. I like those guys, even over LeBron and AD.
There you go, great segue, John. So another the other big, you know, really really big move was Anthony Davis to the Lakers. The Lakers gave up the farm for him, including Brandon Ingram, who. outside, now that he's not in Los Angeles, has been an absolute beast for the Pelicans. I know they're 1-6, but he's been incredible.
It's too bad the Pelican fans are waiting for Zion to play to show up to their games.
I went to a Pelicans game last year, John.
Yeah, that was last year, but so far this year, I see a lot of empty seats. The fans are just waiting on Zion. It's a shame. They have a good young team. Yeah, but the fans are just waiting for that. They just want that star power.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at there, I mean, they have Ingram, Drew Holiday is extremely good.
Lonzo,
who we love here at a Place to Be Nation. Lonzo, Josh Hart, who they got from the Lakers, is another solid guy. I like the kid they drafted, Jackson Hayes. He's got some skills. And then obviously JJ Redick they brought in for some veteran leadership, and like you said, they have Zion coming back here in the next month or two. But the Lakers have started out like gangbusters. The roster really, really looks like a kind of like a two-man team, and I guess Kuzma, but. Those two guys are two of the five best players in the league. So I think you kind of already said this. Where do you see them shaking out? Like, I mean, I think it's, I guess, like one thing that's happened that you wouldn't have predicted is that Dwight Howard has a pulse and has actually been really good for them. I personally don't think he can keep it up. Like, I think that, I think it's a fool's errand for a chain team with championship aspirations to rely on Dwight Howard at this point of his career. But the way their roster is constructed, they have to.
I don't think they're really relying on him. I think they finally find his comfort zone for 15, 20 minutes. Back in the past when he was, the main center on logging 35, 40 minutes, as your main scoring option, forget, he was a disaster, ruining some teams. But For 15, 20 minutes and for crunch time, I think he could hold it together. And I'm totally not a fan of him. I saw him destroy many teams, but I'm quite surprised. And if anybody can get the best out of a wayward player, it's LeBron.
You're a believer in the two-headed Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee center combo.
Yeah.
It's interesting, at the very least. And then Rondo is coming back. It'll be interesting when he comes back.
They're going to have to make a deadline deal for a three-point gunner.
Yeah, I mean, they have Danny Green. Basically, other than Davis and James, the only other guy on the team who can shoot.
Yeah, Kyle Korver type would fit in perfect for
LeBron's
that.
Always thrived with those kind of guys.
Yeah.
And the fact they didn't have anyone like that last year was real strange. So I agree with you there. So looking out west, you have those two. I mean, the West is completely loaded. But so you have those two teams. You have the Rockets, who another big acquisition in the offseason. This one, very polarizing as far as what people think about it. But you're putting the two most ball dominant players. I don't think I'm wrong when I say they're the two most ball dominant players in NBA history. They're certainly the two most ball dominant players right now. You're putting them on the same team. Two very, very good players. So you're reuniting James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Harden coming off his, ridiculous MVP campaign. They're 5-3, but I mean, it's so early in the year. Do you think that they're a 60-win team again, John? Do you think it's more in the low 50s, or do you think it's like they fall off a cliff?
Nah, they'll get into the 50s, but playoffs, I have no confidence in them whatsoever because of D'Antoni. Just he can't adjust his system. When it comes down to the playoffs, Game 6, Game 7, you got to take those easy they're so trained to just on a fast
chuck
break, just to all stop at the 3-point line. Yeah, so sometimes in especially when it comes to crunch time, game 6, game 7 of playoffs, you got to get to the hoop and take those easy twos. And and they just don't change their game. We've seen it in the past. It gets down to game six and game seven, and they don't change their game, and they fall. And when those threes don't fall, you have it like in a couple of years ago when they got to a game seven and they were like 5 for 40 or whatever the hell from, you know, Trevor Ariza still has, you know, he didn't hit the rim.
They should have beat the Warriors in that game. I mean, yeah. They still almost won the game. Didn't they miss 26 threes in a row at one point?
Trevor Ariza had a rough one. Yeah. So, I have no confidence in D'Antoni. He doesn't stress defense. But they'll get to the, you know, into the 50s, but in the playoffs, especially now with other teams improving, they'll win around. That's about it.
I agree. I was actually a Phoenix Suns season ticket holder during the D'Antoni Sun years with Steve Nash, and I think that was about the cap. That was the cap for him. And I mean, they were a great team. I believe they got to Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals twice.
Yeah, they had the first seed. They had the first seed. That was disappointing. They should have beat the Lakers that year, but they couldn't get the job done.
Agreed. And kind of a lot of what you're saying. So I tend to agree there. It is really going to be really interesting to see how those guys play off each other, though. Because it's like if they can both commit to kind of moving without the ball. Like, that's the thing. Neither one of them ever are so used to having the ball that when they don't have the ball, they usually just go stand in the corner and don't do anything. But you'd think they could make a little magic if they could learn to play together. But it's going to probably be an all season thing for them, getting used to each other.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Denver, another. Yeah, they were the two, I believe, last year. Off to a good start this year. Kind of a trendy pick for the one seed in the West. It's a team who, on paper, I mean, Jokic is incredible, right? I mean, for those for those who are kind of like purists, who like somebody who can really pass, I would say I think he's the best passer in the league, right? Maybe regardless of position. I mean, he's an incredible passer. So much fun to watch. And, you know, you get a guy like Jamal Murray, who took a real nice step up in the playoffs last year, who's coming into his own. And, you know, then it's just a bunch of athletes outside of that, you know. And it's an interesting mix, but it seems to work for them. So they'll definitely be in the mix again. And then, you know, kind of a team I see falling off a little bit is the Blazers, which I would have said at the beginning of the year as well, before they were 3-5, but they were pretty highly seeded last year. I think they did not improve, and the rest of the conference kind of did, and it's just tough sledding for them. And then one other thing to talk about, John, while we're in the West here. I mean, I know it's a preview. I don't think either one of us would have predicted that the Phoenix Suns would have come out and played the way they have so far.
5-3. Some good chemistry they got going on with the, you know, Booker's the, you know, not shooting 50 times a game. Ricky Rubio is a solid point guard there, and they got some talent on that squad. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to keep it up, but, you know, hopefully Ayton got suspended.
Yeah, and they brought in Baines, who I'm very familiar with from the Celtics.
He's been solid.
To back up Ayton. And, I mean, he's been great since Ayton's gone out. And they have some good wins, too. I mean, they beat the Clippers. They beat the Sixers, who are both very, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be a huge shock if Clippers Sixers was the NBA Finals. So good for them. And I think you hit on something there, John. The Ricky Rubio signing, when they made it, seemed kind of weird for a team that has been bottom feeding for so long. But they have all these, you know, kind of these young studs, right? Booker is a young stud, but they didn't have like that stabilizing influence. And I've watched their games this year, and he's really, really been exactly that. Him and Baines, stabilizing influences, veteran presences out there that are allowing the young guys to flourish. And I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but it's good to see a little life in Phoenix after about 10 years of, you know, junk, for lack of a better word. So anything else you wanted to hit on in the West?
No, that's about it.
You could talk about the Warriors.
Nah, there's not much. Just decimated by the injuries. There's not much to say. Even without, you know, losing KD, and Thompson wasn't going to play anyway, and now Curry's out. It's just at least a lot of guys get a chance that you wouldn't think of, like Eric Pascal, who you're familiar with from Villanova.
I mean, he's the whole offense.
Yeah, he's led them to a couple wins.
I'm kidding. They had D'Angelo Russell as well, obviously, and Draymond. But no, I mean, the Warriors do have a history of hitting on those second round picks. Draymond was a second round pick.
Yeah.
And Pascal, it's a lost season for them, right? So if they come out of this season where that guy, when they're ready to retool and ready to contend again next year when Clay and Steph are back, if Pascal has proven to be a guy who can be a sixth or seventh man for them, I mean, that makes the season a success, right?
Yeah, and also in the West, we got to touch on Doncic for the Mavericks is a top MVP candidate so far early in the year.
And I think that's going to keep up, John. I mean, he's a superstar.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
He's a superstar. It was a complete joke that he didn't go first in that draft. I said it at the time, and we'll talk about the Hawks when we talk about the East. The Hawks, I mean, that trade. So for those who don't know, the Hawks drafted Doncic and traded him to the Mavericks for Trae Young. And there was some other stuff involved, but essentially it was Trae Young for Doncic. And I killed the Hawks at the time. And I still think it was a bad move because I think Doncic is he's just a baby. And I think he's like a transcendent talent, like one of these guys who's going to be like the three or four best players in the league for the next 15 years.
Yeah, I agree, but it wasn't like the Hawks got robbed because
They're lucky they didn't get robbed. Yeah. They're lucky that Young is so good, because if they made
but
that.
I agree. Doncic could be more of a a game changing that dominant top five type. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, and Young's not Sam Bowie or anything like that. I mean, I think he has the look offensively of like a new age Curry almost.
Yeah. And then the Hawks got some good young talent too, but with the Mavericks, the Porzingis can be the number two, which he's better suited for.
He's a hell of a number two when he's healthy. I mean, and I'm not trying to rub salt in the wound or anything.
No, that's
okay. But I mean, he's a stud. I mean, he's an absolute stud, right? And it's his health that's really the only concern. If he plays, he's going to play well. And
but also with the Knicks, he relied too much on the three pointer instead of using his 7'3". Instead of using his size, sometimes he shied away from the physical game and kind of stayed behind the 3-point line, chucking up three. That's another thing that led to his departure. The Knicks didn't like, but other than that, him and Doncic, and he's been healthy so far.
Right. And I think you may be onto something too with the second banana thing for him because of his injury history. Like, it's probably in his best interests, right, to not have to go balls to the wall every night as the best player on the team.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to do some load management with him too eventually. He's going to, he'll play 60, 65 games, sure, while Doncic will be in there every night.
You know, it's really interesting that, I mean, like with the European thing with the Mavericks, right? To go from Nowitzki for 20 years, basically, to now you've got Doncic. Doncic is still only, 20 or 21? I mean, he's really, really young.
And, yeah, he's only 20.
It's so ridiculous. and Porzingis is only 23 or 24, I think. Yeah. And so, I mean, now you have another... I mean, these guys are going to be the heart and soul of this team for the next decade.
Yeah, and they he got his money. They signed him to the max contract.
Yep. I didn't think they were I liked the move for them, and I loved the Doncic move for them, but I really kind of thought that they were a year away from contending. So if we would have done a true preview show, that's what I would have said. But kind of with what we've seen at the beginning of the season, I think you're right, John. I think at the very least it's a playoff team, and it could be, you know, a team that wins a round.
Wow. Yeah, that's what it's looking like. They'll probably replace like a team like the Spurs that made it last year. They'll probably wind up replacing them. And they got a good shot at that division with Dallas, Houston, and the Spurs.
Yep.
Dallas got a good chance to take that division.
Yeah, so let's take good talk on the West there, John. You still got enough juice to talk the East? You got enough gas in the tank?
Let's stay out of the Atlantic basement and we'll be fine.
All right, I can do that for you. So speaking of the – no, I'm joking.
How about this? Let me start off. How about a surprise team, Miami Heat?
Yeah, at least so far. The East is so wide open that you kind of would think that you're going to have some of these teams. Like they're kind of like a big – the East is like a big jumbled mess, right, at the beginning of the year. Because you could argue like the Celtics losing Kyrie, like they kind of came back to the pack. The Sixers really looked like the class of the East. And then after that, it's like, who the fuck knows? So you do have a team like the Heat, who's middle of the pack, right? Who's come out and played some inspired ball at the start of the season. Bringing in Jimmy Butler, huge. And Tyler Herro. I know you like Tyler Herro, John.
Yeah, he's been a hero so far, but the Heat, that Southeast division, they're going to run away with that division and win it by a lot of games. I don't know quite if they in the playoffs if they can hang with Milwaukee and Philly and them, but you got to be very impressed with the way Riley and the coach whose name escapes me at this time.
Eric Spoelstra.
Eric Spoelstra. Yeah. How they come up with these undrafted guys.
Kendrick Nunn.
Another Bam Adebayo is probably going to be in the running for
Bam.
Most improved player.
I believe they did draft.
He does everything.
Bam go to Kentucky? I think Bam's from Kentucky. I think they did draft him a couple years ago. But to your point, I mean, he was not a super. He was from Kentucky.
No. Yeah, he was a first round pick.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of it. Yeah, Nunn was
Nunn is an undrafted free agent. And Herro, he's a first round pick, but he's also 19. Like you don't expect too much out of someone like that usually, you know. So no, but Adebayo, I mean, he's just a kid still too. He was like one of those kids that had. You know, it kind of reminded me of remember when Ibaka was young, and he's he's this big guy and he's running the floor,
rebounds,
but he's just raw as hell. Like that's kind of what Adebayo looks like, and he's starting to put it together. But
like a Capella type,
exactly right.
Trez Harrell, those are the every great team has a guy like that.
Yeah, and they're tough to spot because for every one of those, like. I think a lot of it has to do with like attitude and like the way they play, you know, because a lot of these guys are great athletes, but they're not all dogs, you know what I mean? Who are willing to get dirty and just, you know, run up and down the floor and sacrifice their body. And Bam is.
That's a lot of it. A lot of times, you know, third or fourth quarter, if you're in better shape and you could just outrun your guy down the floor, you could just get a layup. And, you know, that's where he gets a lot of his points. Just outrun the guys, and also an undrafted guy is Duncan Robinson. Also has been impressive out of Michigan, undrafted. He's had some big games for them.
Yeah, so I like it, John. I like the Heat. The Bucks.
Yeah, they got.
I forgot to say the Bucks were probably the class of the conference. By the way, I should have said that at the beginning. Bucks Sixers.
Oh yeah, yeah. But definitely, yeah. The Heat are a surprise, but. But yeah, there's a lot of mediocrity in the East. Pretty much Bucks, Sixers, Philly, Bucks, Sixers, and Boston are going to be a top four with the Heat.
would think so. And I mean, even the Heat, they look good. They look good so far, but it wouldn't be like a huge shock if they if they came back down to earth a little bit. You got to think. I mean, really, the Bucks and the Sixers should be the class of the conference. But let's talk a little Celtics, huh? How's that sound?
Yeah. So only one loss.
If this would have been a true preview, I would have predicted the Celtics to finish third in the conference. I'm gonna do it. So they added Kemba Walker in the offseason, right? Who, likable guy, good player. Maybe doesn't have the natural talent of that other guy, but he's gonna give you an honest effort every night, and he's not gonna, you know, submarine the team. So I think that's really where the Celtics win in this one, is that Kyrie Irving no longer plays for them. So it's a tough thing to say, because you watch the guy, and I mean, I'm obviously a big basketball fan and a huge Celtics fan, and he does things that maybe one or two other guys in the history of basketball can do. I mean, he's an incredible, incredible talent, but he's just such a diva and such a head case and such poison in the locker room that he makes your team worse. And I know that he won the ring with LeBron and he hit the big shot, but I mean, LeBron James has a history of any team he goes to. I mean, or whatever team LeBron was on in the East is probably going to make the finals. If you looked at before LeBron got there, you had more of the standard Kyrie, 27 wins and a bad attitude, right? So I get it. That's what they told us last year, right? Was, wait till the playoffs. You're going to get the real Kyrie in the playoffs. And he packed it in and quit like he was going to run off the side of the earth. The team's much more fun to watch for me as a fan. It was very difficult last year. They were not a happy team. It was difficult to watch. I don't know if they're going to come out of the East. The one thing that's happening that speaks very well for them and kind of had to happen for them to have a chance to come out of the East has seemed to have happened in the last week or so, which is Gordon Hayward finally looking like the Gordon Hayward from Utah, 2 years removed from his injury. He's really turned it on. And Senior, who is an eternal optimist with the Celtics, told me in the offseason, said, you got to look at Paul George. It took Paul George 2 years to come back from that injury. And he's right. And so if Gordon Hayward's playing at an all-star level, then this team can win the East.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think you guys, you Celtics fans, you know, you want to blame it last year on Kyrie. I think it was more that you hit it on the head that Hayward was coming back from that injury and wasn't 100%. And we had discussed this when we did our mini our sports show that Coach Brad kind of forced him into the lineup when he was still hurt over, you know, and he got a playing time at the expense of like Jalen and Tatum. And that kind of disrupted things. I think that was more of a factor than you guys, you know, everybody wants to blame Kyrie.
It was a factor.
Yeah.
But Kyrie's effect on the team in general, I think, made it worse.
I can't wait to check back in April or May when the Celtics get eliminated. I just wonder who everybody's going to blame this year.
I mean, John, you ever root for a guy like that? It was really tough. I mean, just watching the team, I don't care if they get eliminated. I've seen my team get eliminated a lot. I watched Paul Pierce get eliminated from many a playoff and was fine.
He quit. I didn't see any blatant like not hustling and not trying.
Oh, I haven't. I think YouTube clips.
Oh, come on.
And then come on, look at what's happening in Brooklyn. He's already causing problems.
Yeah, it's not. They're only 3-4.
You heard the stuff about the attitude. Their team's talking about his bad attitude already.
I think it's a little, there's some kind of maybe mental illness issues and stuff like that. But I think you guys are making it more than what it was, because he had bad press conferences where he doesn't say the right thing, and that stuff gets overblown. I don't think that has much of an effect on stuff on the court.
You want to look forward? I'm going to do a looking forward to next year right now. I give it 10 games before him and Durant are at each other's throat. And one of them asked to go. I'm telling
that's
you.
That's his boy, man.
Yep.
KD would rather have him.
They never played together.
All right. I want to look forward to May when the Celtics get eliminated and you guys have nobody. You guys don't have Kyrie right. to blame. Who's going to take the heat?
When Kyrie, one of the best 10 players in the league in his own mind, can't lead the Nets to the playoffs in the shitty East, we'll see. Are they tanking? No. It's just Kyrie being Kyrie.
You didn't answer who you're gonna blame when the Celtics get eliminated. That's just keep that in mind.
There could be plenty of blame to go around, but I don't think you're gonna see anyone just give up, and I don't think you're gonna see a team that they hate each other. You know, I'm telling you, John. I mean, you Knicks fan. As a Knicks fan, you're too accustomed to the guys having bad attitudes. It's
oh, come on.
It's not how it's really supposed to be.
Bad attitudes, bad everything, man. Just attitudes, bad everything.
You know, you got the. One too many games in the Eddie Curry Zeebo era of guys fucking walking up and down the court.
I just think it was a little too convenient for you Celtics fans last year to blame one person. That's all.
More than just him, but he was a real big part of it. He was a really, really big part of it. And I'm telling you, the numbers are what they are. He laid down like a dog in that Milwaukee series. I'll never respect
the
guy.
He was the only one. Okay.
He quit.
What about the? Do you think
he's supposed to be the best player on the team?
Do you think the loss of Horford will hurt you guys?
Yes,
absolutely.
And I think it helped. Yeah. It helps,
especially who we went to.
Too. Yes,
of course.
Yeah, that hurt a ton. That's a great thing to bring up. I love Al Horford. I mean, he's a great player, and you know the real smart thing by the Sixers there is he's like the one guy in the league who could just shut Embiid down, and. Now he plays with him, so he doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, they lost Riddick and Butler, and they imported Big Al and Richardson too is a solid player. So
he's a good guy for them. Josh Richardson is a good kind of guy for them.
So they didn't really lose much.
No, I mean I would argue that I think that those two guys are better fits for what they're trying to do. And they retained Tobias Harris, which is very helpful, especially now with Simmons has a foot. He's out a few games with a foot.
Yeah, and it's all about the long game. Richardson will help defend Giannis in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Horford can defend Giannis too a little bit. He did so for the Celtics. It's. Great, great moves by
them. In that one game they won there when they won the first game, and then
I know,
and then went into the tank the rest of four games.
Poor Paul Pierce.
The rest of the team played great. But the only time Kyrie went into the tank the next four games.
John,
I'm not a Kyrie defender. I don't know. I just like the point. You know me. I don't like point. Into one player.
I know, but in sometimes you have to.
That's
if you're the best player on the team, right, and you're supposed to be this superstar, you can't just give up, right?
Give up. All right, we'll check back with you in hopefully May. Hopefully you guys make it to May. Hopefully it's not in April. Hopefully it's not first round when I'm checking back with you saying what happened to you. Who are you guys blaming for the first round loss?
You know what I'd really like, John, is I'd like to play the Nets in the first round. That's what I want.
Be careful what you wish for.
We can live watch. But
don't make me start rooting for the Nets right now because
you can't. I don't want to root for that guy.
I don't want to root for
you. I'm, you know, and I'm not usually, you know me, right? You know that I am not usually like one of these hot take type of people. This one's legit. I'm telling you, this one's legit.
All right. It's just a lot of hatred for one guy.
And then looking at the East, I mean, we mentioned the Bucks. Giannis seems to be taking another step forward. He's knocking down threes this year. So all this stuff that we're talking about could be moot if he continues to take another step forward. He's already the best player in the league, basically. Do you think that last year was kind of a learning experience for them, and then this could be the year that he just gets into the playoffs and just runs roughshod everybody and leads them to the title? Or do you think they're still a player or two away?
Yeah, not so much a player or two. It's just the system in general where not to the extent of the Rockets, but they do rely heavily on the three. And sometimes in the playoffs, you just gotta take the easy twos. You just gotta score when it gets down to a game six, a game seven, and to be that reliant on the 3-point shot might hurt them.
Agreed. We're gonna see. But I think pretty clearly.
And a big loss was Brogdon. Brogdon has been playing real well for the Pacers.
There's a lot of money, though, man. I mean, I don't think they had much of a choice there. I mean, they paid, you know, Chris Middleton's making $30 million. It's a nice country, isn't it? He's a good player. But really, when you're talking the East, you're really talking about those two teams. The Celtics and the Heat, if we're being honest about it, are probably a little bit of a step below, even though the Celts are off to a hot start. And then after that, it really is who the hell knows. You would think, not to beat the horse, but you would think the Nets, because they have such a great point guard, would...
Haven't even talked about the defending champs who are hanging in there so far.
Yeah. It's a tough go for them. Siakam. So for them to have any chance of repeating... What they needed Siakam to take like another leap, which he, to his credit, he has.
It's early, it's early. Yeah.
But if he continues to play like this, you know, Lowry is he's got a chip on his shoulder all the time, and he's always been a real good regular. You know, again, it's going to come off as a negative, but I was going to say he's always been a real good regular season guy.
but, he got the monkey off his back last year.
He did. I really like I really like Kyle Lowry. I don't want to group him in with that.
I thought he took a, you know, everybody was so quick to jump on him when, whatever, game five, the shot got blocked, and they're like, oh, Lowry chokes like usual. Another guy that kind of gets piled on. He's a solid player. What do you want?
They won it last year. They won it, and he was a big part of it last year. So he's got that monkey off his back. I agree. And Van Fleet is having a good year. So he had turned it on in the playoffs, and they're using him more. So that helps. And OG Anunoby, I always have trouble pronouncing his name.
Yeah, he's another one of those hustle guys.
Yeah,
that does everything. Yeah,
exactly. I love and those it's guys, really yeah. translating this year. And Siakam is like the ultimate one of those guys. He's like the, you know, that and kind of like what those guys can become. So yeah, John. I mean, they're hanging tough.
Ibaka, they got like three of those guys. Ibaka,
I know.
Too.
I don't. Ibaka's not really that guy anymore, though. I think like his, you know, he's more of a catch and shoot and then block shots on the other end.
Uh huh.
But yeah. I mean, you got to respect them. It's a team I like. I don't think that they have the horses to make a deep run, but could they get a 3 or 4 seed and win a round? Absolutely.
Yeah. Solid coach, too. That doesn't get talked about a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely, John. And then, I mean, other than that, it really is like a... You know, the Nets, the Pacers, the Hornets, the Pistons.
Yeah, not this year, but the Hawks got some good young
players. Oh, yeah.
And they got a shitload of draft picks.
They're built for the future. Year, I mean, it kind of sucks there. They lost John Collins, got the PED suspension for 25 games. I think it was yesterday, because he's a really good young player. But, I mean, Trae Young looks like he's taking a step forward. I mean, he's been absolutely incredible. so far this year. I like what I've seen from their rookie DeAndre Hunter from Virginia. He's a good player. And I don't know.
I don't know about Reddish.
We'll see. He was always like at Duke, I always felt like he was like one of those like athlete guys who like didn't really know how to play basketball. So we'll see. Jury's out on Reddish.
You know who I like two on there? Herder.
Everybody likes Herder.
Yeah.
He can shoot it.
Yeah.
And they got Vince Carter showing everybody the way. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Like, who would have ever thought that of all the guys, like, the guy who was kind of known as, like the biggest prima donna of his era would be this guy who plays till he's 45 years old. And, like, you know, you never hear a peep out of him. He just goes out there and plays.
Yeah.
So, John, real quick here, now that we've previewed both conferences, give me conference championship games, finals, and then winner of the finals.
Sixers, Clippers, and Clippers.
All right, and who are the Sixers going to beat to get there, like in the conference championship?
Sixers over Bucks.
And Clippers over
Lakers.
I hope that happens. That would be good. So going with the chalk. So I'm going to go Bucks. Bucks over Celtics. And I don't know who I'm going to blame, but I'll blame somebody. And then
it'll be a great year if you get that far. It'll be a successful year.
And then I hate to say this, but I'm going to go Lakers over Clippers.
Come on.
And then I'm going to go the Bucks beating the Lakers with in a passing of the torch moment from LeBron to Giannis.
Well, I'll take that, but
MVP?
MVP is I'm going to go with LeBron.
All right, I'm going to go with Giannis. It's probably obvious. And Rookie of the Year. We give a plug to your guy.
You going to go RJ? I'm going John Morant. I'm going John Morant.
I'm going to say Zion is going to be good enough in his 50 games, and he's got the hype train behind him that they're going to give it to him.
RJ's got to get over 50% from the free throw line before to be considered. But
true.
I'm going John Morant.
All right, John. Excellent. So I got a little bit of a hard stop at this time. I think we covered everything. I've really enjoyed looking forward, looking back. Folks, we can do this anyway, too. This is the first one I've done. We kind of use the same format we use for this week in the NFL because of just how successful that's been. And, you know, we know how great it is. So, but really, if you have feedback and think we should do it another way, categories, whatever, we're up for anything. So before I go, I'm going to tell you all about the other great stuff we have going on here at Place to Be Nation. If you just give me un momento. John's on half these shows. He's a man of the people. On the pop feed, the Sarcastic Four are back with the latest episode of the Marvel Age podcast, where they continue their look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year of 1972. Also, Scott Criscolo and Jennifer Smith wrap up October in our month-long tribute to Halloween with What a Scream, the History of Horror in America special. The Hard Traveling Fanboys join you weekly and are back with the latest edition of Fix It or Nix It, 2015's Fantastic Four. DC For You, also a weekly offering, delivers an in-depth look at the current events from this month. This Week in the NFL, clearly weekly, hits weekly as well, with both of us, myself and Johnny, recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. We hear from the siblings weekly, Kevin and Mary, who host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 23, they bring you The Office Season 3, episodes 17 and 18. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winston, and Matt Souza to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. Also, on our newest weekly show, Diamond Conversations, the third episode features an interview with author Chris Donnelly talking about the 85 Mets. Apologies, had to cough. It's a tough thing to get through. On the latest episode of Laugh In Theater, Andy is joined by Mirandia to live watch the 1988 comedy Beetlejuice. Finally, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is starting soon. Make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single matchup. Over at the Wrestling Feed, we dive back inside the vault as Parv and Chad deliver a review of Great American Bash 1988 in the classic edition of Where the Big Boys Play. Row 1, Seat 1, number 28, Ben hosts PTBN's own JT Rosero, chronicling his history as a wrestling fan and the founding and growth of Place to Be Nation. In our newest show, With This Ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy look at 5 matches and discuss where they place on Ryan's GWWE match list, as well as Cindy's personal list. On Place to Be Podcast, JT and Scott deliver their 9th annual Halloween Spooktacular. They kick things off with a spoiler-filled discussion about the Netflix Marvel Universe. Then they are joined by the cowboy, myself, Roger Morissette, Andy Atherton, and Matt Souza for a live watch of the legendary Tyson vs. Douglas world title boxing match from February of 1990. On the latest PTBN Extreme 3-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW hardcore adventure. I'm sorry, their ECW adventure with 3 episodes of ECW Hardcore TV from June 1994. Sorry about that, John. Subscribe to The Jenny Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. Also, don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day, where we have new voices and fresh takes bring you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including the SmackDown on Fox report, This Week in the WWE, Jason's DVD deep dive, and Ben's unpopular opinion. Also, don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn's Weekly Walk and Campus Hot Takes with Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland. Lastly, if you're shopping over at Amazon, be sure to click the Amazon banner on PlaceToBeNation.com. And also, check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com. John, as always, it's a pleasure, my friend, and I hope you're able to join me for the next Looking Forward, Looking Back, which should be the end of football season. Does that sound good to you?
Okay. We're going to have to do a... this week in the NFL and that.
We're going to get senior on that one. That's my goal.
Anything with senior on, I love.
Agreed. So for John, I'm Roger, the cowboy. It's been great. Appreciate everyone's time.
Yes, sir.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.